Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, guys. Welcome to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. Richard Hoskins, Hot Rods and Happy Hour, financial analyst slash professor of all things automotive.
What is happening in Simpsonville, South Carolina? Here, your net worth went up a little last night.
That's right. Big lottery winner right here at home. $1.6 billion with a B dollars.
That's like 1,000 times more than $1.6
million. I mean, that's insane. $1.6 billion. Now, keep in mind, it's before taxes and before all the family members get a hold of it. And
yeah, I mean, the poor guy's only going to pocket like $500 million.
If I won $500, I'd probably have family members be like, hey, Rob.
At the end of the day, he's only going to pocket Eminem's net worth.
That's sad.
Poor guy.
I don't see how you can live with yourself.
I know.
I would just tell him to keep it.
Really?
I mean, come on. But yeah, they were actually talking about that. I tell you what's crazy. Do you know Oprah is worth more than that?
Yeah, I think Oprah is a billionaire.
Yeah, she's $2.2 billion.
Man, we talk on the radio. Why aren't we worth $2.2 billion?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm still looking for, like, the big check.
You're better looking than Oprah.
I think so.
I mean, too.
You know what I'm saying?
Patrick over there, he's far better looking than Oprah.
He's a stud muffin.
Got words of wisdom.
That's what I'm saying. We learn all kinds of new things from Patrick. All the time. The producer. But, you know, so that brings us up to a good topic. And we don't want to start on it right now. We're going to talk about it here in just a little bit. Building the perfect car collection. If you won the million, if you won $1 million and you were going to build the perfect car collection, what direction you would go? So that gives you something, Professor, to think about.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to throw a kink in and be like, it can't involve a Dodge.
Well, that's a big kink. That's going to be a problem.
That could be problematic.
Yeah.
But speaking of Dodges, someone picked them up a new Mopar.
Yes, they did.
Look at him. He's all giddy.
I said goodbye to my beloved Turbo Z on Monday. It was a really sad, bittersweet moment, but it was the best thing. It's in good hands. It's going to someone that, friend of the show.
It's going to a better place.
Yeah, she's going to someone that's going to take care of her. And I was pretty heartbreaking about it. And
it seems like we've gotten over that now.
Well, yeah. My Dodge Z spot was vacant for exactly one day. I swallowed up my choked upness, and I was able to replace her.
That's right. So tell us about the new Dodge.
It is a 1981 Dodge Murata. 318, 904 automatic, dual flow masters, 113,000 original miles, bucket seats, floor shift, tough steering wheel. Nice car.
So,
a lot of fun with it.
To break it down for you, if you're not a guru of all things Mopars, because this is kind of an odd Dodge.
Yeah, it is. They made 53,000 of them over 4 years.
All right, so you've got the Murata, which was basically like the Dodge version of a Chrysler Cordoba.
Exactly.
And they had different models and different trim levels.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could get them with T-tops, Landau tops.
Oh, my God. I would kill to have T-tops.
Just saying.
Murder.
While you're killing, you know?
Straight murder.
But it's a very cool ride. And we're trying to think of a name for it because every car, cool car, has to have a name.
I'm very fortunate to have inspiration on this one. I bought this car from Mr. Bad Bad Leroy Brown.
I mean, first of all, was he the baddest man in the whole damn town?
You're damn right he was. He was meaner than a junkyard dog.
Did he have a razor in his shoe?
And a .32 in his pocket.
Oh, my goodness. Did he have a custom Continental?
He had a custom Dodge Murata and an Eldorado, too.
I love it.
When you buy Leroy Brown's car, man, that's an obligation.
Jim Croce was on the radio when you fired it up the first time.
I've been listening to Jim Croce since like 5 o'clock yesterday.
He said, I can't stop. But it's a cool car. Car's in wonderful shape. I don't reckon it has a ding on it anywhere.
Nah, it's pretty straight. It's a pretty nice car.
And it's got Magnum 500s on it.
Yeah, and I've always wanted a V8 rear-wheel drive Mopar, and I've always wanted Magnum 500s.
Check.
This probably isn't the way that I would have chosen to go about it, but nonetheless, I'm pretty psyched.
I mean, it'd be cooler, I guess, if it was a 69 GTX, but it
would,
you know.
That would be cooler.
By just a little.
It made it here tonight. That's cool. That's a good sign.
That's promising.
It's a start.
But I can't wait to see what you do with it, like put your touches on it. That's going to be I think that's what's going to make it, you know, when you make it yours.
I'm looking forward to it. I truly do like the car. That old big car, two-wheel, fingering on the steering wheel.
Just cruising.
Layback. Yeah, it's dope.
It is dope. That says new kid words.
That's right.
We are millennial friendly here at Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
Right. They don't know nothing about no Dodge Murata.
That thing is sick. They're over there saying, like, I thought Mercury made a Marauder.
Kids.
Actually, it was kind of funny. I was actually talking to my dad about it. I was telling him all about it, and he's like, what in the heck is that? And he said, you mean a Mercury? I said, no, a Dodge Murata.
My dad has bought new Mopar cars his entire adult life. And when I showed him the picture of it and said, this is what I want to buy, he said, I've never seen one of those. And in the early 80s, my dad was buying new Dodges left and right. Apparently, I just wasn't looking at, like, personal luxury coupes. But, I mean, it is kind of a rare bird. 53,000 in 4 years, 38 years ago. It's not a whole heck of a lot of them running around now.
Yeah, no, there's definitely not. I've never seen them run. I've seen a couple Chrysler Cordobas, a couple, but never a Murata.
I'm pretty stoked.
Till today.
It's kind of like ready to put a four barrel on it and get rid of that lean burn.
It needs a four barrel and some fuzzy dice.
Well, I was thinking handcuffs.
Or a disco ball.
Maybe both.
Tasteful.
Yeah. Try to keep it tasteful. Try to keep it classy.
Craigers.
I am thinking pretty hard about some Craigers.
Some Craigers would be bad news on it.
So I got the flows. Catalytic converters are gone. It's back, and it's got leaf springs in the back. I'm thinking about some ladder bars.
And like some shackles on it, raise it up a little bit in the back.
Yeah, that'd be classy.
A little rake in it.
Might drop the front down an inch and a half or so.
Come on down like Disco Inferno come rolling up in.
Side pipes.
You start wearing bell bottoms?
Yeah, start. I mean, I might start wearing bell bottoms more. purple fuzzy hat.
So that's what you get for hanging out with Shane Looper. You're already talking side pipes.
Yeah, he's the first person that came to my mind. He's going to be my go-to guy. I think this might be a little easier than the C4 Corvette.
Yeah, really. I'm looking forward to it, though, and you're excited about it, and that makes me excited about it. Like, I love it.
Oh, man, I'm pretty hyped about it.
There's nothing worse than a buddy with a sick hot rod.
Yeah, or no hot rod.
That's bad.
I was without a hot rod for one day. And
it was a horrible day.
It was a terrible day. I had to say goodbye to my baby, help load her up. I know she's in good hands, and she's going to be better than she ever was, but she's not going to be mine. So I was pretty down in the dumps. And what fixes that? An 81 Dodge Murata.
The Murata fixes all.
That's right.
I'm excited about it, though. I'm excited about this week's show. It's going to be kind of fun.
Yes, sir.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
When are you leaving?
Oh, see, now I'm flying out. Well, by the time the show airs, I'll already be in Vegas for SEMA.
Flying out Saturday?
That's right. Flying out Saturday evening out of the big GSP straight to Sin City.
That is a straight shot?
It's a straight shot.
Right on.
Direct flight. I tell you, that's going to be a lot of fun, and we're going to have a lot of great interviews and all kinds of cool SEMA stuff, so you definitely want to chime in with Rob Pitt's Instagram, Hot Rods and Happy Hour, Facebook, and Instagram pages. We're going to have lots of cool content from SEMA 2018. I love it, man. I can't believe it's that time of year. I can't believe we got a commercial break coming up already.
Here we go.
Guys, we're talking about what if we won the lottery right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour.
On 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. And, of course, we got the professor himself, Hot Rods and Happy Hour, financial analyst slash numbers guru slash Murata Drivers Club president.
What's happening in Boston, Massachusetts?
I tell you. So we're talking about, and also, I do need to make an announcement. It feels a little empty in the studio tonight because Smitty and Breezy aren't here.
It really does, man. I miss them.
I do. Breezy's a little under the weather, and Smitty is being a good husband and taking care of his bride.
It's warmer in here when they're here.
It is. It's more love in the room.
Yeah, it's just better.
And plus, Bree brings treats.
That's true, also.
She brings snacks.
I'm like, Patrick there, she would have brought me a burrito.
So, Richard, real talk. You've got $1 million to spend. You just won the lottery, and you've allotted $1 million to start your car collection. What would you collect? Would it change your tastes?
I don't think so, to be honest. So my
would you go from Muratas to Ferrari Daytonas?
No, you can have both. I would probably have the nicest Dodge Murata on the planet. But, when you're talking about $1 million and Ferrari Daytonas don't really come into the equation.
Yeah.
But,
what do you do with the other $100,000?
Yeah, right. I don't think it would change my taste. My taste is very eclectic anyway. For $1 million, I'd probably have 20 great cars that I love, 10 to 20. You know, I probably wouldn't go out and buy a $400,000 car just because we're only talking about $1 million. But there'd be a 58 Plymouth Sport Belvedere in there. You know, there'd probably be a GTO.
So we're talking about a Christine clone car.
Yes. Yes. That's my dream. That's there's nothing I would put above that.
You know, that's a pretty pricey car if you start buying nice ones.
It is. You're in the 75 to 100,000 for a good one.
All right. So we burn 100. So what else are we talking with?
There'd probably be a Ferrari. You know, not one of the iconic Ferraris. Probably like a F355 or something like that. You can pick up for 50, 60 grand. You know, a mix between muscle cars and sports cars. I'd love to have a 911. That would be a cool daily driver.
Are you any particular vintage 911 or?
If I was talking about a daily driver, it'd be a new one.
See, that's where I'm different. I don't like the new 911s. I don't like the new or the 996, whatever you want to call it now. But I'm not a big Porsche aficionado like that. Like the old 911s, they're cool.
Yeah, the old air-cooled ones, they're cool, but they're collectors. I would want a 911 as a daily driver. So I would want a new one.
See, I don't know if I'd get down with that. I don't know. For a daily, I'd want to ride in class and style.
It's a Porsche 911.
Yeah, but you're a millionaire.
Yeah, well, you're a one millionaire, though.
No, this is just your car collection.
Okay, you got $1 million spent on cars. Yeah. All right.
Well, we had a lottery winner hit $1.6 billion.
Yeah.
So we can splurge a little. Well, we ain't talking dailies. We're talking our car collection.
If that's the case, then one, there'd be a lot more than $1 million being spent on cars. But, all right, well, keeping that in mind then, maybe like the last air-cooled 911, like a 996, you know, just not a turbo, not anything super special, just a base, low-mile 911 air-cooled, like a 96, six-speed as a daily driver. I mean, that's going to cost you $100,000 now anyway.
So we didn't burn $250,000 because you're talking about your cheap Ferrari.
Yeah.
So we got a Plymouth, a 58 Plymouth Fury, or a Belvedere Sport Coupe. Or was it a Fury?
It was supposed to be a Fury, but it really wasn't.
Okay, so Belvedere Sport Coupe, Christine clone, 911, 355. I'm poor Ferrari.
Yeah. I'd probably buy my Z back.
Okay, this is going. That's another $100,000 to keep that thing running.
I could drop $25,000 on that car and it would be the nicest Turbo Z on earth. And I just wouldn't drive it that much because I know better now.
All right. Is it pretty bad that the 355 Ferrari is less maintenance than the Z car?
I guess it depends on who you ask.
All right. So where else would you go with this? How about, I mean, I pegged you for like a classic muscle car Mopar guy.
I do. I love muscle cars, especially Mopars.
70-71 Challenger?
Yeah. Probably a Cuda rather than a Challenger, I would prefer. Honestly, man, the place where I bought my car yesterday, you and I need to go out there. It's a Mopar restoration shop. It had a 66 Coronet RT 444 speed, red with black, Magnum 500s, polyglass, or whatever. I don't think it was polyglass, but whatever it was supposed to have on it, red lines. He had a 70 Coronet RT 440 six-pack four-speed. Had a 71 Cuda 344 barrel. He said he had seven more cars at his girlfriend's house. I mean, this dude, like, this was Mopar extravaganza. So, yeah, that 66 Coronet was looking pretty nice.
Those are good looking cars. I'm not the biggest 70 Coronet fan. I can't get down with the...
Well, it was orange also.
The butterfly front end.
You know, I got a problem with that.
Yeah. Well, color's cool. Front end. Yeah.
No, the red 66, that I could definitely get down with something like that. And you could probably pick that up for 60, 65 grand. And I would see that as an investment in a car that's truly enjoyable.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about 440, four speed?
Yeah. That was pretty.
Now, let me paint a picture for the listeners. Richard is in the studio with his eyes closed, leaning back in his chair. I think he's daydreaming.
I'm just asleep.
Wake up. So, classic Mopars of every genre. And then we're going to throw a Porsche 911 and a Ferrari.
Well, and it's not just Mopars. It's just the ones I mentioned. I mean, I'd love to have a Bandit Trans Am, you know?
Which is now a $45,000-$50,000 car for a nice one.
Love to have a Boss 351 Mustang. I mean, I'm not brand loyal. I mean, I lean towards Mopar just because it's the way I was raised, but I was raised right.
It's bad parented.
But no.
So that explains it.
I love everything, man. I would love to have a Boss 351, you know, Bandit Trans Am, IROC. I mean, just.
Now you're talking. I mean, you know, we could just open up a C4 museum.
That's worth $1 million.
That sounds like a magical place to me.
$1 million buy you a lot of C4s.
I don't know. I tell you what I've said and the preaching, I think people are starting to listen because the prices are going up on these things.
They are. Some of the B2K cars have been going for quite a lot on Bring a Trailer lately.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing wrong with that. I'll tell you what else is wrong. It's these darn commercial breaks, man.
I'll tell you what,
when we come back from commercial breaks, I want to tell you what I would buy for $1 million.
I want to hear this.
And I want you to explain to everybody what a B2K car is.
Okay.
All right, guys, stay tuned. We got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour coming your way.
Right here on 106.3 WORD.
All right, guys, welcome back to Hot Rods and Happy Hour. This is Rob Pitts. Hot Rods and Happy Hour, financial analyst / Mr. Mopar, Richard Hoskins.
What is happening in Austin, Texas?
That's what I'm saying. Remember that show Austin City Limits back in the day?
I do.
It was like on PBS or something.
Yeah, it was interesting. Probably wasn't Austin's proudest hour.
No, but it was still a cool show, though.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of cool bands. A lot of cool cowboy bands.
It's kind of like when Live PD did their shows here, and like, oh, there's my house. But like, you weren't proud when you said that.
You weren't bragging about it. So, what is a B2K Corvette?
A B2K Corvette is a Corvette modified, commissioned from the factory by Reeves Calloway of Calloway Corvette.
And golf, too.
His dad, yeah, Big Bertha and all that. Actually, is a thing that Calloway says in all of his, like, it's a rule. All of his cars have to be able to hold two sets of Big Berthas in the hatch. They modify them for that. But the B2K was the C4 Corvette that was a modified twin-turbo Corvette. It was introduced in 1987, and I think they carried it out to 1991. But B2K was the RPO code if you wanted to add the Callaway package.
Sounds like a very expensive package.
It was. It was.
Probably tripled the price of your C4 Corvette.
It doubled it.
It doubled it.
It doubled it.
I mean, there's so many cool things with the C4s, but Callaway, and a lot of people, I mean, I didn't know till not that long ago that it was the same people.
Yeah, yeah, it's his dad was the golf guy.
And he's the vet guy.
Reeves, he's known as the vet guy now, but actually in the early 80s, he did Alfa Romeos, he did Volkswagens, he did a lot of cars, and he said that he was, not intentionally, but they turned out to be the stepping stones that led him to be able to create the B2K package for the Corvette and make it as successful as it was.
Because they made a good many Callaways.
Yeah, they did. I mean, it's an RPO code. You know, it's an option.
Exactly.
So, obviously, GM was on board.
That's what I'm screaming. So, we're talking the lottery. Now, if you're just tuning in, we're talking about, we had the big lottery winner here. And right here in our area, $1.6 billion.
It's about 5 miles up the road from here.
Exactly. So the question is, what kind of car collection would you start? And we're just going to throw $1 million budget on it.
It's a good round number.
It is a round number, you know, because you got to eat, you know, so.
All right. Well, you're up.
Hmm.
And 20 C4 Corvettes is not.
No, 40. But. But no, and I would have a couple C4 Corvettes in there. I'm a classic GM muscle car guy. Absolutely. I would probably have a Chevelle from every year. Stunning examples of those, and I've got 65 already down.
Yeah, you got that one nailed.
But 64, 66 through 72, I would have. I honestly think they quit making Chevelles in 72, but.
Essentially.
And so does the value guys, too.
Yeah.
But
so does Hemmings.
Yeah, and apparently so does the value guys and NADA. But I would definitely have that. Big Corvette guy, but I'm a little weird with my Corvettes. I wouldn't necessarily go for the 63 split window. First gen vets, I can't fit in them. So naturally, so the C1s are out. C2s. The right one, maybe I would pick up. But, I mean, keep in mind, with just my collection of Chevelles, with what, seven Chevelles, taking the 65 out, seven Chevelles, we done spent $400,000 right there.
You spent a bit of your money.
Yeah, well, when you start, and the thing is, like, you pick up a nice 64, 25 to 28K.
Yeah.
Got a 65, 66, 67. When you start getting into big block Chevelles, 35, 40.
Yeah.
And now if you start wanting to get drop tops, things like that, and I'm talking about SS cars, but now 68, 69, 35, 45, you start getting into 70, you've done hit that 50, 60K mark pretty quick.
Especially, it depends on when you get into the 70, it's like what you're looking at. Like,
well, if it's LS6.
Yeah, if you're talking LS6 four speed, then, you know, that just bit a good bit of your budget off probably.
And I like... I'm not against the LS5, like a 396 car, but with that kind of budget, I'd want a 454 probably.
Yeah, I mean, especially if the $1 million is just what you budgeted out of the $1.6 billion that you just won, you could probably swing an LS6.
You know. So, all right, I got a question for you, and I've had this, all right, I've looked at 370 Chevelles in probably the last 6 months, right. And all three were absolutely gorgeous cars, and these were SS, matching numbers cars, two LS5s, one LS6. All three were column shift automatics.
Really?
One was a convertible column shift automatic.
See, now that...
Bench seat car, all three.
I was actually going to make a suggestion for a possibility of why that would have been until you threw in the convertible. It's going to say maybe they were bought to be drag cars.
Possible.
And they just bought, you know, the go fast stuff and that was it. But the convertible kind of blows that out of the water.
Yeah. And I mean, to me, that takes away from it. I just like it turns me off.
It doesn't bother me, but I do know that it's not worth as much.
But I mean, I'm naturally like some people, they wouldn't think for some reason I don't look at column shift cars as performance cars. My pickup truck has a column shift.
Right, right. I get what you're saying. I don't know. It's never really bothered me. Like I've only driven a few real muscle cars in my day, and they did all have column shifts. So maybe I just don't equate the floor shift with.
And that's the thing, like, I just got to have a, and I'm like, even if it was a floor shift, you know, a 7 Chevelle would have had the horseshoe shifter in it.
Yeah.
Like, I could do that, but I'd much rather have a 4-speed in definite.
Well, yeah.
But, and that's the thing, like, you look at them, it's just the column shift, just like, ugh.
Yeah, I mean, it's not sporty car that someone bought back in the day to be their, you know, their hot rod.
It's, I
mean,
like, here, hey, I want to do a burnout. Watch this. Part reverse neutral drive as I pull the shifter down in front of me.
Hey, that does work.
Oh, it does work. It does work. But you know what I mean.
I've popped a couple of transmissions doing that.
Oh, yeah. Nothing like a neutral drop.
Yeah, trust me, I know.
But, so I'll definitely go to the Chevelles. But in my Corvette collecting, though, I'm going to get a little funky monkey with you on this. All right. Probably a nice 70 LT1 car.
Okay.
I'm weird. I don't like big block vets.
They're not great cars. They're not going to drive as well.
Nice LT1 70 vet. I love the hoods. Probably going to be an odd color on this one. And I got one that I'm going to throw out to you. I'm going to step out of the Corvette line real quick. And I was actually talking to my father about this today. And we were talking about, he said, Rob, what are you going to buy next for you? You know, it's been a couple of years. You know, you got the 56, you know, a little while ago. He said, what's next? You know what I'm leaning towards? And you may want to check my temperature. I want a Judge, a GTO Judge.
I'm with you on that, man.
But I don't want a carousel red one, I don't think. I want a 4-speed. They were 400 4-speed.
Yeah.
And I wanted, of course, all the tack on the hood, the whole sheet match stripe kit. But I want a green one, I think.
I would love green one. I know what you're talking about.
Avocado
still
green.
With the orange stripes. Yeah.
I really want a green one.
My buddy Jesse has a 70 Judge 400 Ram Air 3 4-speed with 43,000 original miles on it that his uncle gave him for graduating high school. He took me for a ride in it. And here's the crazy thing, man. Like, when I was getting in it, I was like, wow, this thing's going to be a rip-snorting hot rod. It's not.
No.
Like, you know, cranked it up, you know, V8 rumble. It had 430 gears in it. It's 4-speed, but you just drive it normal, and it's just a nice old car.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I thought it was going to be.
They've calmed down a lot by 70, far as, you know what I mean? Like, it was a well-mannered car.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's still performance there, but it was a well-mannered car.
You know, he never punched it, but we went on a 25, 30-minute cruise, and it was just cruising around in an old car.
Yeah, I just like them. And for some reason, I keep being drawn to those cars. I want an Enduro bumper car, but it's, I just like them.
I love that style of GTO also. Walt Guest had one, and he let me drive it because I was thinking about buying it, but unfortunately, it was just a little beyond what I could do at the time. But I'll never forget it. It had a column shift. It was green interior, black vinyl top, 400, automatic. 68 GTO, and I drove that thing around, and it was just cool.
Just a cool old car.
Yeah, I mean, fast. None of these cars are fast these days, but just cool old car to cruise around in.
Oh, yeah, definitely cool. I'll tell you what ain't cool is these commercial breaks keep coming up on us every time. We get in the zone, and we got a commercial break.
I blame Patrick.
It's all Patrick's fault. All right, guys, I'll tell you what. Stay tuned. We're talking about If I Won the Lottery right here on Hot Rods and Happy Hour. All right, guys, welcome back to Rob Pitts is going to be a millionaire. No, I'm just kidding. We're talking about lottery and winning the lottery and building the perfect car collection this week on Hot Rods and Happy Hour. And, of course, we've got my voice of reason / financial analyst / mighty Mopar lover, Richard Hoskins.
Voice of reason. You do understand that I bought a 1981 Dodge yesterday, right?
I may take that back.
All right. What's happening? Augusta, Georgia.
Woot.
Yeah, stick close to home.
That's what I'm saying. Speaking of close to home, how about that lottery winner? $1.6 billion.
They bought that ticket 5 minutes from where you and I are sitting right now. In a place that the entire property is probably worth $100,000.
Exactly.
I don't know. Man, I think I would die.
I wouldn't die. At least I got the check.
Yeah, I might die about 3 weeks afterwards.
Yeah. Where's Richard at? He's on an island partying with beautiful women like Jimmy Buffett. Oh, I love it. So, we're talking about building the perfect car collection for around $1 million. We're going to give you $1 million budget. And Richard, he went Ferraris and Porsches, Porsche 911s, Ferrari F355, which was kind of an odd one.
You know, fun, cheap entry into the Ferrari world.
How about Testarossa? I mean,
Testarossa, I actually would strongly prefer to an F355.
Yeah, you know, instead of the Ferrari with training wheels on it. And it's, you know, so you had some good ones there, classic Mopars, which were a gimme. All right. So we're talking about mine, and we had a commercial break, of course, come in. So I'm sitting in what, probably about 200,000 left?
Yeah.
And that's probably where
you got some high dollar ones. You had the Chevelles and the Corvette and the GTO.
Yeah. So I'm still riding in the Corvette train. I've got one for you. I would have an 82 Collector's Edition, extremely low miles, a low mile example.
They're out there.
So 30,000.
Yeah. Tops.
78 Collector's Edition Vet, low miles. Everybody has one. I don't think I've ever seen one with more than 16,000 miles on it.
You'd be harder pressed to find one that does have miles on it.
Yeah, I actually think I'd want a high mile example of that.
Just because it would be rare.
Exactly. So I had an 82 Collector's Edition. A dirty pleasure. I like a, not a dirty pleasure, but a weird Corvette that I love in the C3 family. I would have an 80 or 81 in Daytona yellow with oyster leather interior and mirror tops.
I love that
color combination.
Yeah, that. No, that's one of the best looking Corvettes ever.
I love that car.
It is. It's an iconic color combo, and it just screams the era. And, you know, you throw a 4-speed behind that, you got yourself a dope ride.
That's what I'm saying. But moving on, I would definitely go with an 88 35th anniversary low mile. Probably a 93, just to say I had it.
50th or 40th.
Yeah, they were They were lackluster at best. And I'm not the biggest Ruby Red fan.
All the anniversary cars, man, are trim packages.
Yeah, but at least the 88 was kind of a...
88, they went out there.
Yeah. 93, they're like, oh, yeah, we forgot. Put those emblems on.
Yeah, let's put a special color red and slap some emblems on it.
Well, I don't even think it was a special color, was it? Or was it?
Yeah, it was. Ruby red was only on the 40th. So there was, however, a burgundy that was extremely close.
It was two shades off.
Yeah, it was real, real close.
They used the same touch-up paint. But that, and I think that would kind of round it out. Because I'll be honest with you, C5s don't really interest me all that much.
What about Grand Sport?
I would probably could get talked into a Grand Sport. I've never been the biggest Grand. I'm weird. I don't like blue Corvettes.
What about just a 96 6-speed?
LT4 is virtually the same thing.
Yeah. I love the Grand Sports personally, but if you don't like blue, then you know, any 6-speed 96 is literally probably the best C4 Corvette ever made.
Oh, I agree, hands down.
The LT4, I mean, I only hate that the LS came out because they didn't go as far as they could have with the LT motors.
You can make tremendous power with the LT4 or LT1 all in general.
Man, they sound good too.
The platform was second. And people give the LTs a hard time. I want to tell you something. The LT paved the way. The C4 and the LT motor paved the way for the LS.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to think about a lot of the technology that's on the newfangled LS, which is not so new anymore, came from the LT1.
I put an LT4 and 96 up against a 97 6-speed all day, every day.
Oh, all day. All day. Now, when you start getting into the later LSs, now they're making crazy power.
Time has passed, and now we're doing different things. But
man, don't that make you feel old? I remember when the LT4 was like a rocket ship. Like, it was the newest thing.
When it had 335 horsepower, didn't have the word only in front of it.
Exactly. That's, I mean, like, I remember that now. That's 20 years old.
More, in fact.
Yeah, I mean, that's, man.
Yeah, you're making me sad.
I mean, like, just, I don't want to cry too much because it might make my OptiSpark start skipping. But you, but you know what I mean? Like that was a, that was a badass car, dude. That's the best way to sum it up.
I told you my brother had a 95 6-speed LT1, and I used to love driving that car. I think it was a trip. That car was an absolute blast.
I still see a C4 Corvette in your future.
I do too, to be honest.
What am I kidding? I see a C4 Corvette in everybody's future.
Well, I mean, it's something I've thought strongly about. And when I bought the Murata, the idea was clean it up a little and turn it, make some money. And I'm not saying that's not going to happen. Unfortunately, I'm kind of falling in love with the damn thing. But ultimately, I could see a C4 in the reasonably near future.
I like the C4s. I like the C4s a lot. I think you'd like it. That's a great dual-purpose car.
It's a great car.
Great car for running around driving, normal. But it's a great car to take the car shows. Look at Shane. I mean, like, his is a 90.
Yeah, it's a 90. And that thing, you can eat off the body. You can flip that car over and eat off of it.
Use it for a dinner plate.
It's just watch his side pipes. And, I mean, that's what he uses it for. You know, could he drive it every day? Sure, he could. But he doesn't because he doesn't have to. And, you know, it's a great car.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, that would round my collection out. Where would you keep your collection at?
That one's easy. My next door neighbor's house is vacant. It's been vacant for the 10 years that I've owned my house.
He comes. That might be telling you something.
Well, it was during the crash of the housing market, and he and his wife built their dream house, like their retirement house. But because the market was so bad, he didn't want to sell the house. So he still comes over and he cuts the grass and everything, and the yard looks actually better than mine does. Keeps the house up perfect, just nobody lives there. So I would buy that, level it, and put up a garage.
Smart thinking.
Fortunately, I don't have a homeowners association because I don't think they would probably like that very well. Yeah. But then again, I don't really care because I don't like homeowners associations.
Done. But I mean, that's something because, you know, when you have that many cars, you have you have storage problems.
Yeah, you got to put them somewhere.
You just can't leave them at your girlfriend's house, you know? Yeah,
can't stack them on the roof.
No. It's bad for business right there. I would want me like a cool, like you ever see these guys on TV, especially the California guys, they're talking about back in my hangar. Like I would have to have somewhere like a warehouse or a hangar.
I would probably ideally want a warehouse. I would just be really nervous about my collection being away from me.
Oh, it'd be very well insured.
I mean, obviously, yeah, well insured and cameras and alarms and all that, but it would still, like, I'd
probably have rabid pit bulls.
I would have trouble sleeping at night knowing that I couldn't run out there if I needed to.
Or you could sell your house and just sleep there.
I'd probably, honestly, if I had a building full of cars, there probably would be sleeping. Like
a car, in the bag.
Probably like a little room.
Yeah, just like
I wouldn't live there, but there'd probably be sleeping quarters.
Like, that's my room.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
I think I'll just stay here tonight.
I have sleepovers at the garage.
There would definitely be sleepovers at the garage.
I'm telling you. I mean, I want to tell you something. I'm like, hello, ladies. I love it, man. I love it. I tell you what, guys, we done birthed through our first hour of Hot Rods and Happy Hour already. That's insane. It's like, pew.
Keeps on coming.
I'm telling you. I tell you, we will burn through that hour about like that guy's going to be burning through that lottery money here in a little bit.
That's right.
I'm telling you. All right, I'm going to find out where this guy lives because I need to talk to him about some car investments. Guys, stay tuned. We got a lot more Hot Rods and Happy Hour headed your way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.